live. We're having fun. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Monday evening, approximately 7 o'clock. Well, let's do this. Let me just tackle this head on here. Boy, has the Alabama race for Senate heated up. I thought this thing was going to be a total sleeper. And with me, well, of course, it's Alabama. You've got a, you know, a Bible-thumping gun nut running for the Senate, and that's a shoo-in, right? He's a Republican, big R. What could go wrong? Well, apparently, the Washington Post. That's what could go wrong. So, if you missed it, big story over the weekend came out in the Washington Post, alleging that Judge Roy Moore, okay, who's running for the Senate there in Alabama, has had a series of, most of these are flirtations, but there are some accusations of sexual assault when he was in his 30s with girls that are in their teens, 14 and 15, respectively. This fits, by the way, this story fits, it's contextualized with a lot of the other stories, the hashtag MeToo sexual assault stories that are out there right now. Most of them coming from Hollywood. And let me tell you what I think is the most important way, the only way I can really frame this issue. If you have an accusation, if an accuser comes forward and says, so-and-so did something to me, details what it is, and the accused, the alleged perpetrator of the act, stands up and says, yeah, you know, I feel really bad, I'm seeking counseling, I'm going to sex rehab, I'm talking to my pastor. Well, for me, it's a closed deal. I mean, open and shut. It was true. At least enough so that they're admitting to it. Becomes a little bit trickier when you have an accusation and the accused vehemently denies it ever happening. And we have to be extremely careful where we tread as a society in these circumstances. Because, you know, in my view, there has to be some kind of a process. I'm a lawyer. I'm always looking at this, you know, there's a legal process, and the Constitution says what it is. It's called due process. And due process ensures that certain protocols are followed to take somebody from accused to convicted. And we are not doing that. This is not what's happening. I'll give you a little snippet of this just so you understand exactly the type of hysteria that's out there. I just came across, this is a Chris Cuomo on CNN talking to Alice Stewart. And Alice Stewart, a commentator on CNN, again, no big conservative here, but she's just couching it very carefully, saying these allegations, if true, right? The caveat, if true, then X, Y, and Z. Listen to this response, because I honestly think that this really captures right now the overall tone of how this issue is being approached.
I'm taking politics out of this.
I don't know how you can, because every comment that's made by people on the right is defending and putting in context of political utility. The, well, let's see if it's true. Well, boy, the timing is suspicious. These are not things that you say when you're being sensitive to the women in the case. They just are not.
But what's the problem is, what if they're lying? I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying, what if they're lying? This would not be the first instance of a total fabrication being put out there. And the thing, what do I think? I'm not ready to throw Roy Moore out with the bathwater at this point. I'll tell you, I think that today's press conference was very suspicious. Well, and primarily because this woman comes out of, you, who am I talking about? Beverly Young Nelson. Now, apparently, she alleges that back in 1977, She's 15 years old, and a 31, 32-something-year-old Roy Moore tried to grope her, did grope her, and tried to perhaps initiate some form of sexual contact, and she rebuffed him. Now, one of the things that she talks about in her press conference, which was curated by none other than Gloria Allred, her conveniently hired mouthpiece attorney. Beverly Young Nelson comes out and says, my husband and I, we voted for Trump. We are Trump supporters. You know, this thing just really, it's not a political hit job and so forth and so on. And I'm watching this, and the first instinct I have, and you know, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm nuts, but I don't know. I'm trying to picture in my mind's eye an Alabama Trump supporter who goes out to hire Gloria Allred as her attorney to take down a Senate candidate in her state. I don't see it. If you don't know this, by the way, Gloria Allred, she is a die-in-the-wool Democrat, huge Democratic Party activist. And this is one of her specialties, is coming out and targeting conservatives. Now, this woman, this Nelson lady, she may very well be telling the truth. I don't know. But it's, well, and the timing of it, the election is literally in December. Isn't it funny that this none of this came out in the Republican primary? See, if, and I'm just going to throw this out there. If Beverly Young Nelson is a Trump supporter, if she's a Republican, as she claimed in this press conference, wouldn't the time to raise her hand and bring this up be during the primary? I mean, I don't know. I think so. Now, of course, the flip side of this is, you know, we're, the original story comes out in the Washington Post, and I do acknowledge and I recognize that victims of things like this, this is really difficult to talk about and really difficult to articulate, and sometimes it always takes that first person to come out there and go on the record, as I think, what was it, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 women went on the record in the Washington Post, the original Washington Post piece. So I could see her coming out after the fact. But still, at the end of the day, the timing of this is stunningly suspicious. It really is. So what do you do here? Well, they don't have much of an option. The guy, if he doesn't admit to it, this has to follow some kind of a process. And by the way, they can't put in a new candidate right now. It's not the way... In Alabama, the way these special elections are set up, he's the candidate. The Republican Party cannot just replace him. And there's all this babble about what they ought to do and should do and hope to do. But none of it really matters. The only way that the Republican, Roy Moore, the accused here, is not on, he's only going to be on the ballot, but the only way he gets replaced by another Republican is if the Republicans en masse decide to write in a candidate. And writing in literally means that. You write a name in. And voters barely show up to the polls and barely have, you know, enough skill to bubble in, you know, and punch through a card. So I don't know. I just write in candidates. There's no history of writing candidates ever succeeding. It doesn't happen. You heard the one about Sessions. The Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. He's thrown Roy Moore overboard. Listen to this. This is him talking about what ought to happen. Now, there's some talk of Luther Strange, who was the Republican Party establishment candidate in the primary who lost by a mile to Roy Moore. So there's talk about getting him back into the race. And listen to Mitch McConnell talking to this reporter. He's talking like this is all like they've got a plan and they're going to get rid of Roy Moore and they're going to put somebody in and they're already talking about it. Listen to this exchange.
I think he should step aside.
Are you encouraging a write-in campaign with Senator Strange?
That's an option we're looking at. whether or not there is someone who can mount a write-in campaign successfully.
Would it be Senator Strange, do you think?
We'll see. Yeah.
We're just about out of time. Is the burden on Moore to prove these false versus someone to prove that these are true in this situation? Or do you believe these allegations to be true?
I believe the women, yes.
Is the burden of proof on Moore to prove these allegations false versus someone to prove these are true in these situations, meaning the allegations? This is the reporter actually is being a good reporter. He's setting it up correctly. In this country, when you're accused of a crime, the burden of the proof is on the prosecution to prove the crime. Right. I mean, we don't live yet in a country where you have to prove your innocence. That very important distinction, by the way, there's an assumption that that's how it works in our system. It's not. It's not. So that's what the reporter's setting up. And the response from McConnell, this weasel, Senate Majority Leader, says, I believe the women. Yes. Why? This is, by the way, manna from heaven if you're Mitch McConnell. Literally the last person that Mitch McConnell wanted as part of the Senate was Roy Moore. Roy Moore's entire campaign has been to run against the Republican Party establishment. Roy Moore's not running against a Democrat. Don't be fooled by that. Yes, there's a Democrat in the race. Yes, you're going to hear that his poll numbers are going up, and of course they would with these types of allegations out there. But truth be told, Roy Moore's campaign from the get-go has been about socking it to Mitch McConnell, socking it to establishment party politics, to fight the GOP establishment types, the Bushes, the McConnells, the McCains, et cetera, et cetera. It's been the entire theme of Moore's campaign. So, if you are Mitch McConnell, this to you, I mean, this is literally the best thing that ever could happen. And I bet you, if you got inside Mitch McConnell's mind, I'm going to try to do this right now, very carefully. I'm going to get into his mind. Okay, I'm in there. I honestly think Mitch McConnell would rather lose this race. He would much rather have a Democrat win the seat than have Roy Moore as a thorn in his side as part of the Republican Party caucus there. I promise this. Because what Roy Moore represents is a challenge to Mitch McConnell's leadership. McConnell would rather be a minority leader. Absolutely. He'd rather be in the minority, lose the majority in the Senate, and still be the top dog. And I think what frustrates me about this so much is we fail to understand just what an exclusive, arrogant, out-of-touch club the Senate is. Every time these jerks talk at election time, talk about how they represent the will of the people, it makes me want to yak. It's a farce. Look at what's going on with Bob Menendez. This factors into all of this because Bob Menendez is the New Jersey senator, the sitting New Jersey senator, who is on trial for an insane amount of corruption. Actually, the jury just deadlocked today. That's the latest bit of news. But he's part of the club. Do you think there are any calls among Democrats or even Republicans to expel him from the Senate? Hell no. You betcha no. Because he's one of them, and they rally around their own. And I always mention this, that the lines, 2016 proved something very important about lines drawn and where they're drawn. We have always been lied to. We've been lied to. We're told that it's Republican, Democrat, left and right. It's not. That's a total farce. It's a charade. The real lines are establishment, anti-establishment. And there are renegades in the chamber, certainly. I would say people, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, of course. And they are outsiders. But you get a guy like Menendez. Menendez and McConnell have more in common, which is why you literally have McConnell today calling. They're already talking about how they will have, if Roy Moore wins, they will initiate removal proceedings against him. They're already talking about that. And they've got a sitting senator who, by the way, true, he has not been convicted of a crime. That is correct. But a grand jury had sufficient probable cause to charge him, which is way more evidence, way more legal standing, I'll put it that way, than anything here against Roy Moore. But Roy Moore's problem is he's not part of the club. More than that, he wants to take a sledgehammer and destroy that club bit by bit. And that's the real crime. All right, more on this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, plowing through here the day's news, unpackaging everything. So these allegations, these latest allegations, very troubling regarding Roy Moore. He is the Republican candidate for Senate in Alabama. This is a special election that was called to fill the vacant seat of Jeff Sessions, right? So when Jeff Sessions was called by Trump to be the attorney general, he had to leave the Senate. He was a longtime senator there and left his seat. And then there was first a primary, and now we're in a general election. The Democrat running, his name is Doug Jones. One thing to note here, just so you realize, Jones is a fairly liberal guy in a state. I mean, he's pro-gun control. He's had, you know, he's supported abortion in the past. These are things, these are big issues. So I wouldn't be surprised here, no matter how many people on the Republican national front pull their support of Moore. Why? It also depends on how this all plays out and what comes, what evidence comes forward. But I think that I don't think that any pulled support here necessarily harms Roy Moore, because this is fundamentally a local race. And one of the things that these accusations have done, I've noticed this, they've nationalized this race in a way that it was already going that way, I understand, but not so much. Because what you had was you had Roy Moore running sort of this campaign against the GOP establishment, against the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, but you nobody even knew who Doug Jones was. Nobody did. I mean, not on a national level, unless you're a Politico type and following it. What happened as a consequence of this piece and these subsequent revelations is that Doug Jones is getting all this attention, but from all the wrong people when it comes to the race in Alabama. Well, let me give you an example. So now there are all these Hollywood liberals are throwing lavish fundraising parties for Jones. And I think that this kind of stuff backfires hugely. Because the last thing, imagine you're in Alabama, and as far as you're concerned, this is a race for a state seat, right? This is the U.S. Senate, but this is the U.S. Senate representative sent from the state of Alabama, and all of a sudden your race is turning into the circus, and more importantly, Who are all these other Democrats, right? These Democrats from Hollywood, from this evil place called California, who are coming, Kamala Harris, for example. She did a fundraiser for him. That's a no-go. If you're trying to squeak it in as a Democrat in Alabama, the last thing you want are California Democrats showing up supporting you. You don't want any of that. You honestly, the best thing Doug Jones could do is go out and campaign with like Jeb. No, I'm dead serious. with you know, middle of the road, blah, blah, you know, Republicans who would probably, Jeb would probably fundraise for him in a heartbeat. But he, if he wants to get smart about this, I always want to explain kind of what's going on behind the scenes. So because I'm part of knowing what's going on, you always want to anticipate what will happen. And I think if these accusations remain at a stalemate, meaning you've got accusations over here and a denial over there, then I think that this race, he could still win it. He could still win it. And that sets up a very interesting showdown between him and the Republicans in the Senate, because they're already talking about how they're going to give him the boot. And some interesting stuff on that. I'm going to get into that here after the news. But really do know the last thing the Democrats, they're so dumb. The last thing to do to help a Democrat who might have a chance of winning in Alabama is to show up and publicly support him. If you're a left wing Democrat. Well, I'm going to play some clips from the press conference, and you know, you be the judge on you know, if you find this credible, and also a statement from Gloria Allred. Very interesting stuff. I think that's just an interesting twist to it all around. All right, don't go anywhere. We got John Wolf up next with the news, and I'll be back after that.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Greetings, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, the voice of reason, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. So, these, bombshell allegations that Judge Roy Moore, the Alabama candidate for U.S. Senate, has a thing for teen girls. And by the way, can I separate out these allegations into two categories? I think I need to do this. Because there are some that are creepy, not illegal, and then there's some that are illegal. And it has to do with two things. There's two things I'm looking at here. One, age of consent. And two, is there an assault? Is there, you know, I mean, is there a criminal, harmful, offensive touching of another without privilege or consent? So, well, I'm going to go through these. So you have Debbie Gibson in the original article in the Washington Post. There was a Debbie Gibson. She was 17. Wendy Miller was 16. Gloria Deason was 18. Now, I don't exactly remember their precise allegations, but these ages, by the way, 16 is the age of consent in Alabama. So make of that what you will. Now, of course, don't get me wrong. It's creepy. It's horrible. And I've heard all day on the radio, I've heard on TV, I've seen people saying, as a father of girls, I am repulsed by this. Okay, I don't think you have to be a father of girls. I happen to be a father of two girls. And if at 14, 15, 18, some 32, 35-year-old DA, district attorney, was trying to date them, I believe in the Second Amendment. I'll leave it at that. But I don't think you have to, you know, I don't think that caveat is important at all. It's creepy. It's not okay. It's inappropriate. But it's not criminal. Okay? It's not criminal. And I don't necessarily think with it having happened so long ago, 40 years, I don't necessarily think it's disqualifying. I don't. What is disqualifying, if true, is going after a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, and committing, by their account, a sexual assault. So this is that's where the problem lies. The problem lies with what's her name? Leigh Korfman, and then Beverly Young Nelson. Okay. I have an interesting point about this, because really there's only a few different directions that this can go. One option is that Moore drops out. He drops out of the race. I don't think this is going to happen. But if he drops out, the only real alternative is that the Republicans all write in the same candidate. So the Republicans have to show up and vote and get their chosen anointed candidate. And I'll tell you a little bit later who those some of those people in the running are. Now, the other option is Roy Moore stays in. He says, to hell with this. I'm fighting this all the way. And that's, by the way, very much what it sounds like to me right now. He's not admitting to anything, and he's charging ahead. So he either loses it or he wins it. And the interesting thing is that if he wins it, the Senate Republicans have already said, you know, we're gonna boot him from the Senate. And the process for that is there's first a committee that has to recommend him for expulsion. And then 2/3 of the Senate has to vote to expel him. But if that happens, guess who gets to pick his replacement? It would be the governor of Alabama, who happens to be, she's a Republican. So she would pick another Republican to replace him, and then there would be a special election at some point later in time. Well, I bring this up because it's interesting. The shrill tenor from the Senate GOP can have one of two effects. One, it can galvanize support in the state of Alabama for Roy Moore because he's the anti-establishment candidate. On the other hand, I think it might shoot them in the foot if that happens, because let it play out. The guy gets elected, boot him out, do what you say you're going to do, and then let the Republican governor pick the replacement. It's a much safer bet. But a lot of grandstanding here. You begin to see how these guys are not as smart as they make themselves out to be. All right, don't go anywhere. We have got more on this coming right up.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. If you get into an accident, if you're, you know, out there in traffic, minding your own business, listening to Sam Nation or KABC in general, and suddenly, wham, somebody rear-ends you, hits you, there you are. It's a terrible thing. If you've been there, you know that it just sucks. You know what else sucks? Dealing with the insurance company. That stinks. And you know why? Well, they don't really want to pay you out what your case is worth. They don't want to do that. What they want to do is pay you a little bit less and save some money. It's how the world works. So, in that event, if you get into an accident, the way you avoid getting taken advantage of is you hire a lawyer and get the right lawyer. Get Attorney Sweet James Bergner. He's the attorney we trust here on the program to help you navigate this maze. So it's easy. You call James, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Talk to James or someone on his team. Everybody's really nice, sweet, knowledgeable, and will get you taken care of and the help that you need. So keep this number handy, 800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah, you know, a photograph just surfaced of George H.W. Bush not in a wheelchair, of a purported meeting where he had groped a woman. But I don't, you know, I don't hear Mitch McConnell condemning George H.W. Bush. Well, that's right. He's in the club. It's nice to be in the club. I want to be in a club. I'm the kind of person that gets booted from clubs. I can tell you that right now. I feel bad for my wife, actually, sometimes. I could tell you stories. Applying to social clubs. When your husband is number one, a personal injury attorney. And number two, a conservative, rabble-rousing talk show host. That's like two black marks against you. It's done. What is that? Robbie? Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Well, Robbie says he'd never want to be in a club that would have him as a member. Yeah, I get it. Exactly. So, anyway, the GOP club, they're circling the wagons. But you know what's interesting to me? it's not really just the GOP club. It's the political club. It's the Senate club. It's all these establishment types. Here is Dick Durbin. Now, Dick Durbin is a Democratic senator from Illinois, and he's getting asked about Roy Moore. This is by Jake Tapper. This is just yesterday, Sunday, on CNN State of the Union. And he's asked about Roy Moore and Bob Menendez. Just a reminder here, Bob Menendez is the New Jersey senator, the sitting senator, who is currently on trial for corruption. Big-time corrupt acts. By the way, Menendez denies everything and will not step down and is waiting to see how this criminal trial of his plays out, which is really the proper approach for when there is an accusation. You wait for the criminal process to play out. So listen to this.
President Trump is the leader of the Republican Party in America. It's his responsibility to step forward and say more and do more when it comes to this situation in Alabama. Many of my Republican colleagues, whom I respect, they have strong family ties and feel very, very passionately about this, have spoken out on it, and I respect them for doing it. It's time for the president to do the same.
If your colleague, Senator Bob Menendez, New Jersey Democrat, is convicted on the corruption charges, he's on trial right now, the jury is still deliberating, will you vote to expel him?
I'm not going to get into the hypotheticals on either of these situations. As I said, several steps removed. I'm hopeful that when all is said and done, that Bob Menendez will be returning to the Senate representing the state of New Jersey.
Total rubbish. You see this? You've got a guy who has had a few accusers come out, and I'm not, it could all be true, and it could all be as despicable as it sounds. Getting convicted out there in the court of public opinion, and then you've got a guy who literally is charged with abusing his office, and Dick Durbin will not say whether or not he maybe should be booted out. Worse yet. Dick Durbin says, hey, we'll see if, I look forward to welcoming Bob back into the old Senate club. Can't wait for him to be back here and so we can play, Mahjong on Wednesday nights. This stuff just gets me. Does it get you too? Anyway, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Here is Gloria Allred earlier today talking about the accusations made by her client. This is Beverly Young Nelson, whom she represents conveniently now in the last weeks of this Senate campaign. Gloria Allred, of course, noted Democratic Party operative and supporter. Listen to her here.
We believe that the Judiciary Committee should subpoena Mr. Moore to answer questions under oath regarding his alleged conduct with Beverly and the other accusers. Beverly has decided to decline interviews with the press. However, if the Senate does not schedule a hearing to be held within 2 weeks from today, then Beverly will answer questions in a different public forum. We believe that since Mr. Moore is seeking a seat in the United States Senate, he should support testimony under oath before the Senate Judiciary Committee so that the facts can be determined in an open forum and in a fair manner.
Yeah, in a fair manner. Senate Judiciary Committee, of course, most famous for its fair treatment of Clarence Thomas, among others. She is such a hag. And publicity stunt galore. I'm telling you, by the way, listen, this is Beverly Young Nelson talking about that this has nothing to do with politics. Listen to what she says here.
My husband and I supported Donald Trump for president. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the Republicans or the Democrats. It has everything to do with Mr. Moore's sexual assault when I was a teenager.
Then why didn't you bring it up during the primary? If you're a Trump supporter and a Republican, you don't sink the Republican in the general election. Oh, he was running 20 points ahead at one point in time. Roy Moore, it was always clear Roy Moore was going to win over Luther Strange. I mean, even the pollings that are all nonsense had him miles ahead. The time to bring it up was then. This is why, I'm a suspicious guy. I'm a cynic. But I think that's a legitimate question. And no one's been asking that today. Because, we've got to tiptoe around this. I don't want to live in a world where you're guilty based on accusation alone. I don't want any part of that. You can't you just cannot believe every accusation that's put out there. No, not believe it. You can do whatever you want, but men and women in our free society, in our society that is ordered by rules and laws, should not be immediately convicted the minute that an allegation or two or three are made. It is not right. I want no part of it. And that's my take on this. Like it or not. Oh, I'm really sorry about Friday. But I have to tell you this. There's a story. Yes, there's a story. I was supposed to be on air live. I wanted to be here. And I ran into some unforeseen difficulties. You want to hear the story? I'm back. Look, right after the news here, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened. It just everything that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong on Friday. So I will fill you in. And of course, I want to talk about Trump's trip overseas and the now infamous tweet about Kim Jong-un. It's all good stuff. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back after the news with John Wolfe. Talk to you then.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Baby, I'm back. What I've wanted to say all day today, because I wanted to be here on Friday so badly. Let me beg for your forgiveness. I know I have to do this. I had one listener tweet at me. He was worried that I'd been canned. I was not on air. Anyway, so the Kings, we've got the Kings, so we've got to accommodate for the Kings. But I was supposed to be here live on Friday. I went in for, I'll just tell you, on Thursday, I went in for a minor procedure. Has nothing to do with my gender. I will just tell you that right now. This minor procedure is very routine. It is elective. It's LASIK. That's what I went in for. All right, I'll just tell you. I've worn glasses since just right before high school. I got glasses the week before I started high school. And by that time, I was pretty officially blind. I'm going to tell you that. I remember in junior high sitting at the back of the room squinting. I couldn't see a damn thing up there on the board. So I knew around the summertime, I knew I needed to put glasses, go do the thing, go to the doctor and everything. So I think about a week before I go in, doctor confirms, yes, in fact, the kid is blind. So I go and I get glasses, and I still to this day remember the first sensation of putting glasses on. I know exactly where I was. I put my new, my new first pair of glasses. I put them on. And if any of you have had this experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, you put them on and you can see so clearly, right? Because if you go from being blind to suddenly having glasses on. Anyway, there it is. So I've worn glasses ever since then. And I've become more and more active, funny thing, I'm probably more active now than I was when I was a teenager. I glasses have become bothersome, and contacts don't cut it for me. I hate contacts. I hate putting anything in my eye, which is why the idea of having LASIK done was totally terrifying, right? That somebody's going to put a laser in your eye. And that they're going to cut open and there's going to be a flap and it's going to Producer Robbie's in there. He's going to faint. I think he's literally going to pass out. Wait, I haven't even gotten started with the story. So with all this fear and trepidation, and I went to a highly rated guy whom I know. I know him personally, so we're, you know, we're friends or acquaintances. Who do you think would have complications? That's right. Me. So what happens is I go in on Thursday. The Kings are on. I think this is perfect. I'm going to set it up for the day that I'm not going to be on air. So what happens, I go in for the procedure. It's really awful, I think, because if you're sensitive to people digging in your eye, don't get LASIK. So I go in, they do the procedure, and then they give me this magic pill, which I have found out is Xanax. I don't take any drugs. I don't even like taking Advil. So I take the Xanax. And I slept for like 15 hours. I'm telling you, it was the most epic night's sleep. I slept the equivalent of 3 nights. So I wake up, I fall asleep at like 3:30. I wake up the following morning, 3:30 p.m., and I sleep through the night into like well into the morning. And I wake up and I've got a little annoying, painful tickle in my eye, in my right eye. So now I'm a little worried, right? So I go in to the doctor's office, and they go, "Yeah, oh, your flap, the eye flap, the part of the cornea, it didn't quite seal up properly, and it's got a little buckling to it." So picture like your car gets rear-ended; it's got some buckling in the bumper. That's what my eyeball looked like. Not bueno. So the doctor says, "Okay, well, no problem. Here's the deal, Sam. We're going to call the surgeon in, and unfortunately, you're the doctor of the procedure. He's at a conference, but don't worry, we've got the next best guy." So I'm at my office in Newport, and then I get a call back. Guess what? The next best guy, Sam, he's also at the same conference. I'm explaining why he wasn't here on Friday. This is a long explanation, but trust me, it's a funny story. So he's not there either. And by the way, when you find somebody, a doctor that you trust enough to dig in your eyeball, you're kind of particular about being with that doctor. So now I get sent to the third best guy, who's in Torrance. Now, if I can explain anything about the geography of Southern California, Newport Beach to Torrance is a long drive. It's also a very long drive when one of your eyeballs isn't working right. That's when it gets really complicated. But they're like, "Yeah, no problem. You can drive up there." So I drive up there. I get up there. The doctor says, "Yes, we'll get you in. We'll take care of you. No problem." But you can't drive back. So now I've driven all the way up to Torrance. And I've got my car up in Torrance. And they're telling me I can't drive my car back. Now, they did tell me that I could leave my car in the parking lot. Torrance and just Uber back. That was not an option. I'm not going to leave my car in Torrance. So Sherry was busy. So I called a friend, a coworker of mine. I said, "Hey, any way you could Uber up here and bring the car back?" Absolutely. So then this comedy begins, right? Where she calls an Uber and three Uber rides get rejected. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you where Uber drivers are picky nowadays. Anyway, so she finally gets up there, but right in the middle of all of this, they gave me another Xanax. And so I take the Xanax, and apparently I call my friend, and I say to her, I'm already on the Xanax. I'm like, "Whatever the vet gave me is it's unbelievably strong." So no, I said vet instead of doctor. She and a friend, because she had to get a ride from a friend, pull up, and as they pull up to the doctor's office, there is an animal hospital right there. They're very worried that I got sent to the vet. Anyway, so I survived all of it. I got an eye patch. I came home. And one thing that I forgot on Friday, well, I didn't forget, but because I wasn't on air, two things, very important. I didn't get to talk about all the veterans out there, whom I deeply love and respect. Was intending to talk about that on Friday. So I missed Veterans Day. I missed acknowledging Veterans Day. It's a very important holiday to me. So I'm doing it now, better late than never. Thank you to all of you who have served this country in uniform, we owe a depth of gratitude to you that really words cannot do justice to. So thank you. And especially, I'm looking out at my favorite veteran, Robbie here, producer Robbie. So thank you, Robbie, for all of your service. You're a good man. The other thing that I didn't do because I wasn't on air, besides getting into all the stuff that was going on last week, Vera, my daughter, had her birthday. So she turned 7, my beautiful, smart, engaging, absolutely stubborn, funny girl turned 7. I love you, Vera. You are the best. And I'm sorry that I was Xanaxed on your birthday. Okay. There it is. That was a long explanation for why I wasn't here. I genuinely missed you all. Now, besides this Roy Moore business going on in Alabama, there have been some other interesting things brewing. For one, Trump has been on this trip in Asia, and he is absolutely slaying it, okay? Slaying it. And you know how I know that he is doing a great job? The media is nitpicking about everything. You see that picture? It's all over today. The picture of him doing that handshake at the summit where he's doing some kind of weird arms cross thing. I tried to replicate it earlier. So instead of shaking hands or holding hands with people to the left and the right, you fold your arms and you're doing like a handshake on both sides of you. And he looks like he's wincing. And he looks like he's a little bit uncomfortable. And maybe Trump is not a flexible guy, you know, doesn't do yoga. It's very difficult for the liberal media to understand. So he doesn't do, you know, he does not do the downward dog. So he's not flexible. He's doing the same, and he looks awkward. And they're criticizing him for it. It's criticisms galore. And that's how I know he's doing a great job. Because if he wasn't, if there was something substantively wrong, we would be talking about it. But instead, the media is obsessing over his handshake and other minutiae of the trip. I saw another thing. You know this Hope Hicks? She's an assistant to the president. She's more than that. She's the communications head of the White House. And there's some pictures in the media of how glamorous she looked on day one, and that now by the end of the trip, she's dressing down. And that this is news. So again, how I read that and how you ought to read it is our president did a great job overseas representing this country. And all criticisms that as far as I can see, and as far as I've seen so far, are totally superficial. So I think that all that is good news. The tweet, of course, that has rankled, absolutely rankled, more so than others, the news media, the left-wing propagandists out there who we pretend are journalists, is Trump's tweet the other day. This was November 11th, so just 2 days ago, when he was in Vietnam. He sends out a tweet, and it's about Kim Jong-un. Now listen to this. Here's the tweet. And this tweet, I'll preface this to say, this tweet is probably the most brilliant tweet that Trump has sent out, in my modest opinion. I'm reading now. Why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never, all caps, never, call him short and fat? Oh, well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe someday that will happen. Exclamation point. Well, what he's doing. Okay, so he's calling him short and fat without calling him short and fat, which is part of the humor of it. The other part of the humor of it is the entire point of Bolshevik propaganda. And I know something about this. My parents were raised in a communist country. These statist propaganda organs are all about claiming a particular narrative with bombastic rhetoric. And they, you know, They cannot even put a dent in Trump with their nonsense. You know, it used to always be that North Korea get up there and, you know, the horrible things about Bush. Remember one of the funniest moments when Hugo Chavez on the floor of the General Assembly, United Nations, got up and says, it smells of sulfur in here. You know, that type of thing, that Bush was the devil. This kind of stuff, and Trump is just playing with it. He's not being angry, as the media is saying. The media is saying, oh, he's engaging with North Korea. He's name calling. It's tit for tat. It's not. It's funny. It's humor. And everybody that has a sense of humor gets it. And it's not unpresidential. It's not anything bad. It plays well. And I think it does. I think that when it comes to North Korea, bringing some levity to a tense situation is not a bad idea. There's no red line here. There's no, you better not do this or else. It's a joke. And I am totally astounded. I'm totally astounded at... No, with the reactions out there. Because the media is literally crapping bricks over this thing. And I think, but by the way, it's a pithy tweet, excuse me. Just, it's such a beautiful economy of words. Everything is laid out perfectly. All of you people, all of you out there that think Trump is just such an idiot, trust me, there is method to his madness. And the biggest mistake that people make with Trump is that they underestimate him. Hillary did it. The Democrats are doing it. The media constantly does it. Meanwhile, stuff like this, I'm telling you, stuff like this plays with regular people. They read this and they go, ha, funny, and they move on. And then 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours later, they're watching the ABC, CBS, NBC news, and they see this being dissected as like the worst crime in the history of presidential communications. And they're just left scratching their heads. And guess what they do? They turn the channel. Because what they are hearing does not in any way conform with what they're thinking themselves. Just one of many examples. I know, but it's interesting. Oh, did this get real? Oh, yeah, this got retweeted like crazy. This is really one of Trump's most popular tweets in recent history. All right. Be back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
So I remember Trump running in the campaign. This was 2015, 2016, and a lot of my Republican friends saying, you know, Reagan. Now that was a real Republican. That's how you did it. And this guy's just an imposter. I have a thought on this. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Because frequently I hear this to this day now. Well, you know, who is the standard bearer of the Republican Party? Is, you know, Reagan is the standard everybody gets held up to. And this tweet here, this Kim Jong-un dig that Donald Trump put out on Saturday. Why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never call him short and fat? Reminds me of this great quip. During a debate in 1984, this is Reagan getting asked about his age. Listen to this.
You already are the oldest president in history, and some of your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all, Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
So there Reagan gets asked, hey, you know, you're kind of old. And youthful vigor, you know, is maybe a requirement for the job of president. And he says, I'm not going to make age an issue of the campaign. I will not exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience. And the crowd went wild and ate it up. You see, this is what smart, great communicators do. They use humor. And it's funny to me, by the way, it's funny to me that a lot of this, by the way, got criticized when Reagan, by Reagan's contemporaries back in the day. What's now considered to be one of the great political speeches, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall, was widely criticized by the political establishment of the day. You don't do that. You don't call out our enemies. This is not presidential. And so forth and so on. No, when you read contemporary accounts and contemporary criticisms, when Reagan made that speech, it was wildly criticized. So here's what you do. You don't judge all of this, you know, by the cacophony of commentators in the here and now. Some of this stuff, you have to just disregard what everyone is saying and just take it in and saying, hey, is this funny? Is this working? And the fact of the matter is, it is. And the political establishment of today is completely baffled by all of this. They're lost. It's extremely interesting to me. Well, I don't know if you caught this. Speaking of a political establishment, I want to develop this a little bit more when we come back after the break, because I think that what is going on in the NFL is fascinating. And it has, by the way, nothing to do with sports. Absolutely nothing. Because this, and that's the problem, right? That's the problem with the NFL right now. It's become a topic that interests even me, who couldn't care about football any at all. I don't know if you saw this. You saw Roger Goodell, who is the NFL commissioner, who has just been totally and absolutely useless in his response to these kneeling protests. He's up for a salary negotiation. And I'll give you some of the details of what he's asking for when we come back, because I think that any normal human being will be blown away by the ask. And I think it's so absurd. It's not just the numbers, but then when you take into account that he's not exactly presiding over a successful period in the NFL right now. It's like going to your boss for a raise when things aren't going well at work. By the way, I know I'm really sucking at my job right now, but boss, you think you could give me a raise? Not good. This is how tone deaf these people are. It's all about the elites, though. Trust me, these are the same people that are in government that think they know best. Don't go anywhere. We got John Wolfe up next with the news, and then I will dissect all of this when we come back.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790. KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number. I haven't even given this number out all night. That's how delinquent I am in fulfilling my host duties. No, I've got so much to cover. And we're off tomorrow night because of the Kings. So then I just got to cram, you know, and I explained why I was off on Friday. So I have to cram all of it in today. And there's so much going on. So there it is, my predicament. Email sam@samnation.com. If you'd like to email me, I will check that here. I'm checking that in real time. So send me an email. I'll react to it. The NFL. Fascinating stuff. Roger Goodell, who is, in my opinion, a very ineffective leader. Leaders lead. and he's the commissioner of the NFL. And this is a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Okay, let's just be clear on what the NFL is. This is the league that, I don't know, controls football. All the team owners are regulated by rules that are promulgated by the league. And the league, the NFL, technically has enough power to divest, for example, an owner of a team. So think about it this way. Each of the individual owners or the groups of owners that own these franchises, that own the teams that you may be a fan of, they are governed by the organization that they are themselves members of. And if you get a group of, it's by consensus, by votes. So a group of owners can gang up, if you will, on another owner and get them out. But they all have to agree by consensus to hire the commissioner. And then the commissioner acts as the executive. Do you know how much money Roger Goodell is asking for? It comes out to, roughly in annualized terms, $50 million a year. That's 49.5. Forgive me for rounding up. And not only that, he wants this part here just, oh, this just rankles me. He wants lifetime use of a private jet and health care for his family. You know, now I know he probably wants some big fancy airplane, but get your own damn plane if you're making $50 million a year. What? This little piggy went to the market, and this little piggy became a hog and got fat and got slaughtered. That's what happened. And the owners are taking it. They're taking it in the shorts, except for one, who's none other than Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry Jones owns the Cowboys. If you know anything about him, he's a very powerful guy in the NFL. Now, what happened? He hired a lawyer, famous lawyer named David Boies, big Democratic operative, a big Clinton lawyer, and he started making noise that he wanted Goodell out. And as soon as that happened, he got ganged up on by other owners in the NFL who are threatening him with action if he doesn't, you know, get behind and support Goodell. Now, I'll tell you why all of this matters. This is all tied into the current political climate. Because in the background here, GQ magazine named Colin Kaepernick as Man of the Year. Colin Kaepernick, who has we'll get into Colin Kaepernick later. But the big issue right now are these protests. And the NFL has been absolutely paralyzed to do anything about them. Ratings going down. Attendance to these games going down. Revenue lost. And they're fiddling while Rome burns. And it is exactly, totally a mirror of what is happening in politics. Where you have all these smart political types and reporters and politicians who all think, no, ignore Trump, ignore what's going on, ignore what the people want. We know what's best, and we're going to keep marching to the same beat of the drum to meet our doom. This I'm going to expand on this when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, fascinating stuff coming from the NFL commissioner salary negotiations. He's asking for $50 million lifetime, $50 million per year for the duration of his contract, plus a lifetime use of a private jet, plus health care for himself and for his family. This is Roger Goodell. By the way, this represents a 67% increase over his previous salary, which was a mere paltry $30 million per year. Okay, first things first. I am all about private enterprises compensating themselves and their directors however they see fit. I am not criticizing this. If the NFL wants to pay him $50 million a year and wants to get him a private jet for life and wants to give him health care and wants to give him, I don't know, you know, a pony and a Shetland pony and a goose that lays the golden egg, fine. They're free to do this. My curiosity here, I'm blown away by this. How stupid and tone deaf are these people? You know, because I'll tell you, I think that they have no idea how bad they what a predicament they found themselves in. You saw that, I think, was it four or five players took a knee during the Veterans Day game sale. I mean, they're literally celebrating Veterans Day. Where football, the American pastime, right, should be out there. We should be American flags, patriotism, everything great. And they've let the sport be hijacked by their loonies. The whole quip that I forget who it was, that said, you know, the inmates are running the prison. I think he meant the inmates are running the asylum, talking about the crazy people being the ones in charge. When you're a leader, if you're Roger Goodell, fine, $50 million, $60 million, $100 million a year, whatever it is that you're being paid, be a leader. But they are so terrified of being, I don't know, strung up by the political correctness posse that they cannot look these players in the face and say, what the hell are you doing? I don't care what your political personal beliefs are. I don't care how right or wrong you think I am or you are. Doesn't matter to me. Play football, because that is what people are tuning in to watch. That is what people are buying tickets for. And by the way, don't alienate half the audience out there. Because half the audience doesn't give, more than half, but at least a half of the country that watches football voted for Trump. So that half, I can confidently say, doesn't give a rat's rear end about your social activism. It's a non-starter. Not interested. No, thank you. And if you bring your social activism into the sport, they're going to leave. And their loss represents a decline in ratings, represents a decline in ticket sales, represents a decline in interest, in general interest in the sport. And your lack of respect for the flag is unacceptable. They can't say that to them. So this is why I'm strictly, as a business person, I'm looking at the NFL and I'm looking at this association of owners. And what I see are a bunch of spineless nitwits. They deserve Roger Goodell. This is an example of what corporatism, what it looks like. Because all of these people, all of these big, and this is why big corporations always vote big Democrat. They're all big corporations are always Democrats. Because they benefit from left wing policies, but they also here's the thing: all these people, they all go and mingle in and among themselves. So their elite thinking, they in their world, social activism is so in. I mentioned GQ magazine naming Colin Kaepernick Man of the Year. That idiot, Man of the Year. It's a good idea when you're the editor-in-chief of GQ magazine. It's a good idea when you're attending salon parties and mingling with the elites and establishment party politics. It's all connected. Okay. Got to take a break. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. I have to mention this because it's been just over 2 weeks since we lost Lucy, and I am very soft when it comes to pets and losing pets. But this story caught my eye. Let's see what you think about this. There is a man in Clearwater, Florida. Clearwater, Florida, by the way, coastal city, very well known for being a big base for Scientology. I don't know if you know this, but there's a big Scientology bunch of buildings, and it's anyway one of the headquarters of the Church of Scientology. Anyway, completely unrelated to that, I think, is this man who is living in Clearwater. He's a resident of a condominium complex. I think it's a tower, like one of those high-rise apartment buildings. And he's fighting to keep his emotional support animal, which the board, the condo board, have sent him a notice now, final notice, that it's basically his emotional support animal or him. You choose. You're either out of here or your animal's out of here. Now, if you're curious what emotional support animal he has, I'll just tell you. It's a squirrel. He's got a squirrel. And in this article that I'm looking at, this squirrel is really cute. I mean, this squirrel is really cute. And I don't know. I think this is extremely cliche. I want to point this out because in the image that the news, Channel 8 local news in Clearwater has of the story, the squirrel has a nut in its mouth, which I think this is cliche. So I'll tell you, most states, this is the problem with these emotional support animal designations. You run into a huge legal problem evicting somebody for an emotional support animal because of the Disability Act. Federal law, which trumps all other law, provides enormous protection for people with disabilities. If one of those disabilities is a psychological one that requires you, let's say, to have the companionship of a nut-munching squirrel, what are you going to do? If this guy gets a doctor to say, I don't know what doctor would, but I says, look, Frankie, he is totally crazy. He's going to harm himself. He cannot live without the support of his squirrel. And he gets it documented. I don't think this condo has a hope or a prayer of getting this guy evicted. I know there's local laws that says you can't keep a squirrel as a pet, you can't keep a raccoon as a pet, you can't keep a deer as a pet, and all this stuff. But it gets, pardon the pun, it gets a little squirrely when you start mixing, disabilities in with this. And I don't know. I think he's going to get to keep the squirrel in the long run. And it's a cute squirrel to boot. All right, that's it. We've had a fun 2 hours. It flew by as per usual. I'm going to be off tomorrow night. Back, go Kings, go. We got the Kings on tomorrow night, and then back Wednesday night live right here in the Sweet James Studios on KABC 790. So please tune in on Wednesday. I will be here loud and clear. Looking forward already. Have a great night.